Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Hosea chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Hosea chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is part 1 of 2.
I was joking with the onliners that I said, I hope the rapture doesn't happen until I teach this because I put a lot of work into it. And I'm joking. He can come anytime. Amen. We don't believe in jinxes, so no sweat. But anyway, Hosea 5, 1 to 7 will be our study after that current events update. But did you know this is Pride Month? We forgot to put the rainbow stuff out. June has been declared Sodomite Pride Month for 50 years or so. You know they did that to take away the attention on, at the time, and up until a few years ago, it was the month for marriage. And it was the month for heterosexual marriage. They claimed they did it because of Stonewall. But it just happened to be they took the whole month of June, which is Bride Month, really. Not Pride Month, it's Bride Month. But anyway, for the last 50 years or so, they've spread out what they call Pride Parades and Pride Days in individual cities. And so what you got is some of these guys will fly all over the world and go to these different events. San Francisco's the big one here in America, and then New York and Chicago and some of the other big cities have big ones. They go to Tel Aviv in Israel, and they just recently have started having Sodomite parades marching through Jerusalem too. But we should expect that because we know in the book of Revelation, when the two witnesses are killed, they're killed in that city that God calls Sodom, where the Lord was crucified, it says, which is Jerusalem. So it's a fulfillment of prophecy. And Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't hate, you're not a good Christian. Amen. Come on. Amen. The question is, what do you hate? You should hate what God hates. For example, somebody last week said they hate black licorice. Shame on you. Shame. The Bible never says to hate black licorice. But another thing, Jenny and I were taught a lesson by our grandson. When if you say you love food, love some kind of food, he says, you're not supposed to love things, Grandma. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In the next, after the semicolon, he starts to give you examples of what he means. The first word he uses, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Do I hate? And so the problem with modern Christianity is that they've gone too far with love. Love is not just unconditional to everything. There are some things you love, but there's also some things you're supposed to hate if you're a Christian. Yes, Jessica?
What exactly is a froward mouth?
That means that someone's always running their mouth and saying things that isn't true, gossiping, quick to be, you know, cursing and demeaning people, that kind of thing. The Bible says a lot about someone being wise if they do a lot more listening than they do talking. And now, some people say, you preachers, all you do is talk. But the reality is, I talk a lot when I'm in the building and when I'm fellowshipping, but Jenny will tell you, most of my off time, I spend listening. And I'm not just talking about her. But I do listen to my wife. But the Bible talks about reading and listening to things is the same thing, really. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? So that's whether you're reading. When you read it, you're listening to your thoughts in your mind. Your mind speaks to you because it's giving you the information. But also, I not only read the Bible, but I listen to the Bible. And then I read and listen to books, history books mostly, science, and all kinds of things. I was talking to our English teacher here about listening to a grammar, series of grammar lectures, 24 lectures on grammar. I mean, you're talking about exciting stuff. But I've learned a lot, and that's the whole point. But notice again, the first word, when God is telling us what he hates, and what those of us who fear the Lord, if we're going to hate evil, A, number one on the list is pride. Now, an interesting result of the COVID-19 pandemic, first of all, I got to tell you, it's put a damper on the satanic peace treaty in Israel.
Amen.
Giving up land for peace. That's been pushed way back because of COVID-19. And here's another thing. They're canceling all these sodomite parades. As a matter of fact, I just have to tell you this, this was canceled all the way back in April. They were like, okay, we're done with this, you know, so. But, yeah, that's going to happen we'll get to that in a minute. But a lot of them are involved in that. Jenny and I noticed that there's a lot of the sodomites out there with these protests and everything. But this is from the report. San Francisco Pride, that's the organization, announced today that it is canceling this year's June parade and celebration, the largest in the western United States, as COVID continues to take its toll. Now, I underline this. Pride now joins other major local cultural events like Burning Man, which is another sodomite gathering, and the San Francisco International Arts Festival, which is also a sodomite thing, in skipping to 2020. And they say for hopefully reinvigoration in 2021. Well, I'd like for that to happen for this reason, because they'll be so happy that all of us Christians have disappeared.
Amen.
They'll be partying like it's 1999. That's a joke for my generation. Only gets it. The massive annual rainbow festooned, glitter-strewing festival, which is funded by sponsors, donors, and city grants, draws more than 500,000 people to commemorate the anniversary of the 1969 Stonewall Riots, a touchstone of the contemporary gay rights movement. That's just some information. You can learn more about that on your own. Psalm 10:4 says this, the wicked through the what? Pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. I don't do it anymore, but I've gone to a couple of these events and tried to witness, preach the gospel, hand out tracts. I don't do it anymore. You're literally, I think even, I'm not going to say too strongly, if you want to go give it a try, go, you know, more power to you. But there is such a thing as throwing your pearls before swine. And they are nasty.
Amen.
And the cops won't do a thing about it when they flash you, threaten you, spit at you, you know. That's what they hope.
I hope not.
Yeah, I still don't think that's going to happen before the rapture.
Amen.
But we'll see. Pride festivities will eventually end, as Jessica was requesting, when Jesus Christ comes again.
Amen.
That's when the gig is up. Pride Parade, this will be the headline. Pride Parade canceled due to 100% chance of fire and brimstone. Partly cloudy with 100% chance of fire and brimstone. And that'll be the end of that. And all Christians like to boo-hoo about these people when they, you know, self-destruct and everything. And it's not a happy moment. But I'm going to tell you, according to the Bible, we're going to laugh and applaud.
Yes.
And God's going to laugh the loudest.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, we don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. But you know what? Somebody who's persisted in their unbelief and rejection of the Lord and is so nasty, it reaches a point where, okay, bye. Zephaniah 3:11 describes the end of the pride events. In that day, talking about the day the Lord returns, shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. See, right up to the very end. No shame. Pride. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy what? And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. God sees these pride parades in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And there's a payday coming. So there you go, your current events update. Some good news for a change. All right, get your Bibles open. If you would, we're going to get into Hosea 5, verses 1 through 7. And all right, Hosea 5, 1 to 7. Chapter 5 simply picks up where chapter 4 left off. And that sounds like an obvious, but it doesn't always work that way. But that's the way this is working. And so we pick up there in verse 5, and I'm just going to have you read all of these with me. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare in Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor, and the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou comest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Hold on just a second. I had trouble turning my page. Sorry about that. Verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. For they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. God's people say amen. Amen. So religion and the people at large and the king are in apostasy. You see there in verse 1, hear ye this, O priests. That's the religious leaders. And hearken, ye house of Israel. And that's the people. And it says, give ye ear, O house of the king. So covers it all there. And just wondered this myself, so I figure some of you might as well. Who is king of Israel at this time? And the answer was a man who was assassinated. This is from Barnes Notes. It's probably the unhappy Zechariah. Now there was a prophet named Zechariah. Don't get him mixed up. This guy was a short lived king of the northern empire, I don't even want to call it an empire, but kingdom. A weak, pliant, self-indulgent, drunken scoffer. And that's putting it nicely. Who, after 11 years of anarchy, succeeded his father only to be murdered. So let's look at that. It's an interesting story over there in 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings 15 verse 8. I'll start with verse 8. In the 38th year of Azariah king of Judah did Zechariah the son of Jeroboam reign over Israel in Samaria. How long?
6 months.
And in verse 9, read that with me. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Now keep that Nebat in mind for if any of you going to name children. That'd be a good one. And verse 10, he was a bad man. But the name's cool. I'm Knee Batman. Now, he did evil. It says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But look, it says, as his fathers had done. And generation after generation, God has been waiting patiently, calling on them to repent, and they have just persisted and persisted. Well, there's been, no matter how you count it, there's been at least three generations since we started murdering babies in the United States of America. I was a baby when that started. I was 4 years old. I have grandchildren. So that's three generations. And God has been calling on America to repent, calling on America to repent. And instead of getting close to repenting, we've gone further away from God. Our churches are in greater number going into apostasy. And now we have two men and two women getting together and getting, quote unquote, married on top of it all. And that's not even talking about the stuff going on underground with all the sex slavery and the child pornography and child sex trafficking and all that. It's just God is so amazingly long-suffering and patient. I just made up a new word, long-patient. But verse 10 is an amazing thing in the history of the kings of Israel. Read verse 10. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. That's like JFK getting shot in the head and then LBJ becomes president. That's exactly the sort of thing. Smooth transition right there. Shalom took the whole thing in his own hands in that case. And I won't get into the JFK assassination thing any more than that right now, but that's another interesting thing in history, in American history. But verse 11, and the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of Israel, of the kings of Israel. Now read verse 12. This was the word of the Lord which he spake unto Jehu, saying, thy son shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. So in this case, the reason why God put up with it was because he gave his word. And I believe the only reason he's putting up with America is because God said he'd bless those who bless Israel. And up to this point, although we've done some bad things, we've tried to get Israel to do bad things, overall, especially the people of this country still support Israel. A lot of people even send money over there to help with the refugees and immigrants over there in Israel to settle in, all this stuff. A lot of ministry over there. Noah Hutchings went every year for I don't know how many years. He took Christians over there on tours, and while they were there, they would preach the gospel and hand out gospel tracts. And he's just one. There's Zola Levitt and David Hawking and Chuck Smith, and I can't even name all the ministries that have gone over there year after year and taken people over, and while they're there, ministered. Seems to be coming to an end, and so look out. Verse 13 says, Shalom the son of Jabesh began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. Now read 14 and 15. For Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. I just want you to see that. How many of you have been called a nut because you believe in a conspiracy theory? You're a nut if you don't. Right there's one. It was a conspiracy theory. And I want to tell you study American history, you're going to have so many conspiracies, not theories, conspiracy facts. Amen. We got into Vietnam because of the Gulf of Tonkin, and it didn't even happen. Didn't even happen. There was no attack on our ships over there. It was a bunch of baloney. And they know it. and the Civil War and the so-called attack on Fort Sumter and all that. It's all a big trumped up mess. Let me tell you, there's people who wanted that war.
Yeah.
And there were people who wanted the War of 1812. And there's people who wanted the World War I. There were people who wanted World War II. And there were people who wanted these wars in Desert Storm in 1990 and the War on Terror. You know, we were attacked on 9/11. And I'm not saying we weren't, but I believe there were Americans involved. And then what did we do? We didn't go over and attack the people who attacked us on 9/11. We went to Iraq. And you know what we did when we got there? We, being our government, set up a Federal Reserve banking system in Iraq.
Yep.
For the New World Order.
Yep. Right.
And they think they're building their own kingdom. I got news for them. They're building the kingdom of Antichrist, and God's going to destroy it.
Yep.
And so there's your conspiracy theory information, a little late for the current events of the day. But so apostasy produces political chaos. Go watch the news tonight. One of the main reasons, I'll just say this, I have to give a little disclaimer. PragerU, you ever heard of that? Prager University. They have videos on YouTube. You can go look up one of their most recent was about... we watched it today, and it was about social justice. How many of you heard the term social justice? You heard that? Sounds good, doesn't it? It's a complete lie. It sounds good. I mean, anybody hears, oh, well, we want social justice. I mean, if you define those terms correctly, but they're not defined correctly, and that's the way liberals always talk. They use words like, I'm pro-choice. No, you're not. You're pro-murder.
Right.
See how that works? Instead of calling them sodomites, which they are, they make up a word, homosexual. They made that word up. God calls them sodomites. And so on and on it goes with all that kind of talk. And so social justice is the idea that everybody is to be equal. And that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, just what I said sounds good, but it's a lie. Even the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. It doesn't mean that you have the same amount of money. It doesn't even mean you have the same talents and gifts. It doesn't mean you accomplish the same thing in life. That's communism. Social justice is communism. Social justice is the end of America. Social justice is the end of our Constitution. Social justice is the exact opposite of what the Declaration of Independence declared that we wanted as a nation. But the churches, I'm on a list of the local churches here. They don't call it what they used to call it, the Ministerial Association. Now they call it the Community of Faith or something like that. And almost all those churches are caught up in this garbage, promoting communism. We want justice, but we want justice in law. We don't want justice from God. Thank God we don't get justice or we'd all be in hell right now. We want grace from God. But in law, we want justice. And what that means is, see, here's just an example. In PragerU, I got to give them credit. They did a good job in their video, so hopefully you can find it. And I have to say, I do want to say this. I disagree with Prager when they tell people that it's leftism. They're on this kick of trying to convince people it's not liberalism. Well, I disagree, and I'm not going to stop telling people the truth. It's liberalism. Leftists are just liberals on steroids. But it's liberalism. Liberalism is the enemy of America. Now, it's also the enemy in the churches. Liberalism, they don't believe the Bible, any Bible, let alone the King James. And so they have this idea that, for example, let's say if a really poor guy broke in somebody's house and killed somebody while he was trying to steal their stuff, then when he goes in front of the judge, they say, well, you know, we got video, we've got eyewitnesses, we've got fingerprints, we've got everything we need. He's guilty. I mean, he is. Yeah. Even confessed after, you know, we told him we had all that. But you know, he was born a poor black child. And he's poor. And so, you know, I think we should just give him probation. That's what your courts are doing right now. That is anti-biblical. You look it up in the law, it says, Moses told the people that God said, you don't give any, no respect of persons. You don't look at the poor and say, oh, well, we're not going to really give him what he deserves because he's poor. You don't do that for the rich. You don't do that for the poor. You don't do that for anyone. See, our Declaration of Independence and equal justice in this country, you got a woman picturing that, holding a scale, and she's blindfolded. Go to the courthouses, you'll see that. You see, because our justice system is not social justice. Justice is blind. I don't care about your bank account. I don't care about your pedigree. You commit the same crime as the rich guy. You both get the same sentence. Amen. But social justice is a perversion. But a lot of Christians just hear the word social justice, and I have to tell you, the first two times I heard that word, I thought, well, I'm up for social justice, because I think of social and justice as two words with meanings, and you just put them together, but it's not what it means. And you always have to be careful anytime the liberals say anything. They say, when they talk about a Jesus, they're not talking about this one. Their Jesus didn't exist in Matthew 23, for example. And their Jesus isn't going to fulfill Revelation 19. Their Jesus is a hippie. A pot-smoking, effeminate hippie. And he's a fake. He's created in their own image. They'll say, God's just something man created in his own image. And I say, I don't totally disagree with you there. Bible believers didn't create this God out of our own image. And that's the proof is, look at the people who did create a God not based on the Bible. It is in their own image. We would never have created this God. Man would never have created this God. If we were going to make up a God, he wouldn't be this holy. And he wouldn't be omniscient. All the gods created by men are not omniscient. Even Allah, of Islam, and all the Greek gods and the Roman gods, they're a bunch of lying, fornicating, small-minded individuals. When man creates gods, they're like man, like a soap opera. They are. You ever watch soap operas? I'm man enough to admit I have. I've seen soap operas. And that's what the gods of the man-made gods are like. But this God in the Bible and this book, man wouldn't have just written this book. Because it gives everything in its raw truth. It's unedited, uncensored. So back to Hosea 5, verse 1. It says, for judgment is toward you because ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. Now, when you're reading your Bible, of course, go through your Bible. Don't stop. If you want to read four chapters a day or three chapters a day and get through the Bible in a year, read those three chapters. But as you go, you can make a note or write down, and then after you're done reading, go back and look some of this stuff up. Because I say that because people tell me, and I've experienced myself, if you stop, you'll get bogged down, you won't finish your reading. So read. We have the calendars. You follow that calendar, for example. Do your daily reading. Then make notes as you're reading through things you want to look up. And now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm going to tell you, this is true about me. But how many of you can give us a two-minute summary of what Mizpah means? Or Tabor? Because you're not a walking encyclopedia. So what do? You do, that's called study. Say that word with me. Study. Yeah, it's a word, it doesn't mean just to read. It means you do some digging.